Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Welcome to Democracy-ish. I'm Danielle Moody.
And I'm Wajahat Ali.
And Waj, we're in the midst of an American Democratic meltdown. We have now all watched two hearings, one of them in prime time and one in the morning. Don't ask me why we're not watching all of them at 7 p.m. prime time, but I hear there's like an NBA basketball thing happening. I don't know. I guess that's more important. But where do you think that things stand right now? How are you feeling with regard to what we are learning about
the sports ball is happening between my Warriors and the nefarious Celtics?
Yes. So what are you thinking about where we've landed so far? What the committee has offered up?
Yeah, so we got a whole bunch of stuff happening right now. So during the month of Pride, the people who are feeling really proud right now are white supremacists who are going all out right now, attacking LGBTQ communities. While that's happening, as you just mentioned, there is this hearing, and we're learning now that pretty much, as we've been discussing on this show, it wasn't just Donald Trump, Danielle. It was an entire right-wing ecosystem that had tried to and is still trying to launch a coup to overturn our free and fair election. We learned, as we predicted, that folks in Trump land are throwing everyone under the bus. Ivanka and Jared are throwing Trump under the bus. We got the Bill Stepien saying, oh, there was team normal and team crazy. I was team normal. Bill Barr was apparently team normal as well, saying this whole thing was crazy. And team crazy, quote unquote, team crazy was represented by Rudy Giuliani, who allegedly was inebriated and gave Trump the idea. Rudy Giuliani goes on Twitter, throws Jason Miller under the bus. Jason Miller, as you know, is the dude who works for Trump, but also tried to give his mistress the smoothie with the abortion pill question. Now, these are very pro-family values, folks. And so everyone's throwing everyone else under the bus. But what the juicy stuff really was, in my opinion, two quick things, is the fact that it seems, according to what we've heard, that Donald Trump and his minions grifted MAGA to the tune of $250 million. All that money that went to defend election fraud, but apparently didn't go to that, but actually probably went to Donald Trump. So number one, if that is true, that's a crime. And also, MAGA can sue Trump. The second thing, which I think is really interesting, is the first day hearing, Danielle, where it was teased out and later confirmed that there are Republicans who proactively sought pardons. Why would you seek a pardon if you haven't crimed?
I mean, I would have no idea, because I don't walk around looking around for pardons underneath rocks or holding them in the breast pocket or in my fanny pack. Like, that's not proactively something that I need.
Have you ever proactively sought a pardon?
Nope, never, not one time. I'm assuming not me either. I'm not a criminal.
Yeah. There you go. So that to me is amazing, is number one, what? Who sought pardons and why? I think we have a good idea. Number two, holy shit, this was a grift where they straight up grifted their own base for $250 million. Three, they're all throwing each other under the bus. But I'll go back to the point I made at the beginning, is the reason why it's not just Donald Trump in the entire right-wing ecosystem, because even if you believe Bill Barr, right, who was the former attorney general, who just threw everyone under the bus. It was bullshit. It was crazy. He laughed at the Dinesh D'Souza documentary, 2000 Mules. Bill Barr, what did you do? Oh, Patriot, what did you do? You
did nothing. He went on CBS. Remember? He went on CBS. And when asked about his own legacy, right, on CBS, he goes, you know, what are legacies, yeah. Right? He pretty much said, I don't really give a shit, right? So Bill Barr is just like I want to continue to say that Liz Cheney is nobody's hero. Bill Barr is nobody's hero.
Damn
you
right.
don't become a hero for just acknowledging fucking reality, right?
Exactly.
And recognizing that, oh, you know what? On this one issue, Donald Trump is absolutely batshit crazy, right?
Oh, but this is even more amazing, Daniel. They want to be remade into heroes, but to just underscore how this is a systemic rot, even after all this, when they ask Bill Barr, hey, who will you vote for in 2024? Well, if Trump runs, I'm voting for Trump.
Yeah. Like, you know, it pains me. It pains me for a couple of reasons. And both you and I wrote pieces in the Daily Beast this week. And, you know, the piece that I wrote, which was just like, why won't Democrats just connect the dots?
That's right.
Why won't they just say, like, after these two hearings, and we know that we have several more to go through. But after these two hearings, when you are seeing so clearly that Republicans, they had foot soldiers, they had their own militia on hand, they had people, the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys were acting as bodyguards for members of Congress. These are known white nationalists, white supremacists. So you are literally being handed by the Republican Party your opposition repo on a silver platter.
Yep.
And yet they continue to refer to these people as rational. They continue to say that not all Republicans. And I'm just saying to myself, how is this? How is this now that you're getting information upon information? And this is very different to me, Waj, than the Mueller report, which is what I was hoping. I was hoping that this excavation was going to be much different than the Mueller report, and it is. And why is that? Because you have two Republicans that are sitting on this commission who are not insane, right? Who actually want to get to the bottom of things. And so when you see this being laid out, you're thinking to yourself, how could Merrick Garland do nothing?
Right.
Right. Like when this is all said and done, and Neil Katyal just wrote another piece for The New York Times that was basically laying out the criminal case for Donald Trump.
Yep.
Neil
Katyal, you guys all should read this New York Times article. It's kind of lengthy, but he pretty much aggressively makes a very confident case for prosecuting Donald Trump and pretty much connects the dots and says, yo, from what we've just learned, the Justice Department has enough.
Yeah.
However, the co-chair of the January 6th committee, it's Cheney and Benny Thompson, the Democrat. What did he say? What did Thompson say? Oh, we're not going to refer to the DOJ to prosecute Donald Trump. Like, they're so, it's just like, what? Why? And then, but thankfully, there's some other Democrats who it's on the fence, right? But Benny Thompson, adamant, said it on record. No, we're not going to make referrals. Like, why? They literally want to kill you. And even now, because you're so terrified, number one, Democrats have conceded that they're going to get friggin' shellacked in the upcoming midterms. Number two, they're terrified that when Republicans get in power, they're going to do what?
Revisit. What they've always done?
Yeah, what they've always done.
Undermine our democracy, undermine progress, harm the most marginalized communities, make sure that their shareholders and the CEOs that fill their pockets are continuing on the government grift. Like, what are we waiting for?
No,
here?
But Danielle, that's fine. Look, they don't care about that. What they're afraid of is that when the Republicans get back in power, they're going to use and abuse power to attack Democrats, which they've always done and which they will always do. So instead, they're fighting on their knees, kind of fighting with one hand tied behind their back. They're literally tying their own hand behind their back because they think if they're a bit nicer to Republicans, then maybe only a few of them will die. That's what it is. It's like leading through fear and cowardice. So they're afraid of creating a quote-unquote precedent that will then be used and abused by Republicans when they get power. But Republicans have openly said, Ted Cruz already said it, we're going to impeach Biden. Why? Gave no reason. So they're literally going to impeach Biden. We know this is going to happen. They're going to do these sham hearings on Hunter Biden. They're going to have revenge against Liz Cheney and all these other Democrats, what they've always done. And right now you have a brief window of like 6 months maybe until they lose power to use and abuse, to use your majority to do what they're doing. I'll give them credit. These hearings are very good. Well done. well-produced, straight to the point, pretty freaking damning. We've only had two. And right before we started recording, Danielle, I sent you this link, and this is the latest news. This is yesterday. We're recording this on Wednesday, y'all, that Representative Loudermilk, a Republican, straight up is giving a video tour to the violent insurrectionists who are taking photos of the hallways and like straight up writing down like, you know, how to plan the attack that literally happened. He's literally giving them a tour.
But here's the thing that I want to say. I want to go back to Benny Thompson for a minute, because I worked on the Hill, right? And I very much respected members of Congress, particularly those of the Congressional Black Caucus, because to get to Congress, having lived through many of them, what they have lived through and the discrimination and what have you, is a major feat, right? And they're there because they honestly believe that the people's house is, in fact, the people's house. So for me, for Benny Thompson to turn around, and we know that a Black person could be thrown in federal prison for crossing the street wrong in Washington, D.C. How this man could be looking through these thousands of interviews, all of these documents, and say, because at this point, I would just say, we're going to let the American people see the evidence that we have. We're not jumping to any conclusions before the time of this is done. That's it.
Yeah,
that's right. That's what I would offer. You don't need to offer anything more. Oh, we're not going to refer. Then what was this? Then this is exactly what Republicans said it was. It's just a political witch hunt, because if you're not going to see it through, then what was the what's the purpose of these hearings? What was the purpose of the commission? To find that there was criminal activity, to find that this man not only stole from his own constituents, but lied to the American people, put his own vice president in jeopardy, has been in cahoots with white nationalists, and then you have all that information and you're going to say, nah, I'm good? From the New Yorker staff writer Vincent Cunningham, a keenly observed novel of a young Black man searching for his place in the world amidst a moment of historic change. Great Expectations is about David's 18 months working for the senator's presidential campaign. Along the way, David meets a myriad of people who raise a set of questions. Questions of history, art, race, religion, and fatherhood that force David to look at his own life anew and come to terms with his identity as a young Black man and father in America. Inspired by the author's experiences working on Obama's 2008 presidential campaign, Cunningham uses a political campaign as his narrative backbone. Great Expectations will be one of the talked about novels of the year, Colm McCann. Great Expectations is available wherever books are sold.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's like, well, we did our part. Well, the audiences are threefold, in my opinion. Number one is history. You have to do it for posterity. You have to do it because it's the right thing to do. Number two is the American people. Hopefully inform the majority or the electorate. Enough people care that our democracy is under assault. And then number three is the Justice Department. It's up to the Justice Department then to pretty much aggressively pursue these Republicans the way they pursue poor Black and brown folks who friggin' sell Lucy cigarettes and, you know, shoplift.
Oh, kill them. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, even Adam Schiff, Congressman Schiff, and I agree with him. He says, even what we know, and I'm talking about you and me, Danielle, I'll give you one example. We have the audio recording of Donald Trump pressuring Georgia's Secretary of State, Republican Brad Raffensperger, to literally find the votes. Raffensperger's like, yo, you lost. He goes, find me the votes. All right, we have the audio recording. That in itself, just that, is a criminal case. And most likely, the Georgia DA might be more aggressive in prosecuting Donald Trump than the entire DOJ. Like, I wouldn't be surprised, because that itself is like a whopper, right? Like, we have the tape. Brad Raffensperger has admitted to it. Like, they literally tried to pressure Raffensperger to literally, quote unquote, find the votes to give him Georgia. And so you and I know, and we're not part of the committee, we haven't gone through 1,000 interviews, we don't have all the evidence, that these guys crime. And to connect the dots, it's not just Donald Trump. It's Donald Trump. It's his White House. They had a war room at the Willard Hotel. It's Fox News that has promoted the bullshit big lie. The majority of Republicans believe the big lie. A Washington Post just yesterday came out with this stunning report that 103 Republicans who have won primaries since May all believe the big lie, which includes Doug Mastriano, the guy running to be the governor of Pennsylvania, who's openly saying, nope, I was at the insurrection. I believe in the big lie. And if necessary, I'll do whatever it takes to make sure there's no quote unquote election fraud. Like, this is not just Donald Trump and Team Crazy. Team Crazy is the GOP, is MAGA. This is now an accelerated, aggressive effort to overturn our elections. Like, this is literally what's going to happen in 2023, 2024, if they lose, Danielle.
Yeah, I just, I gotta say that, you know, the evidence is damning. Everything is obvious. And what is obvious to me is that there, the only thing that needs to be done on Democrats' part is storytelling.
That's right.
And that's the only thing that they refuse to do. And frankly, the idea that they are so concerned about what Republicans are going to do to them is the fucking problem. Because this isn't an us versus them issue. Like, oh, I'm worried about what Republicans are going to do to Liz Cheney and Benny Thompson and to Nancy Pelosi. No, we should be fucking concerned about what they're going to do to our democracy. We should be concerned about what they're going to do to continue to thwart women's access to reproductive health care and people with uteruses. We should be concerned about them overturning, right, all of the policies and rights and rules that we have received, fought for over the last 2 to 3 decades. That's what we should be concerned about, not our own necks.
Well, also, you know, speaking about connecting the dots, there's another story that I wanted to mention. We should also be concerned about the rise of violence and threats against marginalized communities. As you mentioned, that this right-wing ecosystem includes groups like Oath Keepers and Proud Boys, far-right, violent, often white nationalist groups who have active ties to the GOP. What we also found out last week, it's a big story that I think doesn't get enough attention, is that during Pride Month, we're seeing accelerated threats against LGBTQ communities and specifically rallies. And what happened in Idaho was that 31 men who were part of the white supremacist hate group Patriot Front were stopped by the police. Thank God. They were planning to attack a Pride rally in Idaho. And I'm just going to let you, let me just read what these men were clad in, all right? Riot gear, shields, shin guards, helmets, smoke grenades, and long metal poles, like those used by some U.S. Capitol rioters on January 6th. Thank God there was a tip. They pulled over a U-Haul truck a quarter mile from the park that was hosting the Pride event, and they found them. These men, who were clad in also masks, so they're cowards, did not come with a beneficial intent, Danielle.
No,
it
they
seems
didn't.
Like they came to inflict violence. And I just want to connect the dots of like, well, why are you talking about this, Waj? Because many of them are now motivated by the right-wing conspiracy theory QAnon that says Democrats and liberals and anyone who's not part of MAGA is part of an international conspiracy that rapes and kidnaps children. That's connected to CRT that says these Democrats and Jews and Black folks are teaching children to become gay and transgender and hate America. And this is all part of the gay plot. And in order to save the children, we now have to use violence against Democrats and their allies. Well, this month is Pride Month. And Danielle, you and I are old enough to remember in the 80s, what was the main stereotype used against gay men?
Pedophiles.
Pedophiles. Well, the old is new again. It's all about reboots. And now you got all these people literally wearing shirts saying, save the kids, save them from pedophiles. And now with 2 weeks left in Pride, I pray to God that nothing happens. But I'm really worried that this now activated, radicalized group that is tied to the GOP will literally kill people.
Well, let's go on a step further, because I believe that these are coordinated acts and incidents. On that same weekend where the U-Haul full of white supremacists was pulled over and 31 of them
were arrested. U-Haul full of white supremacists. That should be a punk rock band.
Mm-hmm. Were arrested. And mind you, I just want to enlighten for people. They were from 11 different states. So these men were coming from 11 different states. So gas prices be damned. They were on their way to cause some harm. But also on that weekend in California, Proud Boys bursted into a story time drag queen reading in California, yelling homophobic slurs, yelling transphobic slurs, and all of these things. The New York Times reported on it and said that they, quote, disrupted an event. Let me tell you something about media right now and on their bullshit, which is the fact that this is not a disruption. These people are escalating violence. They want to cause as much harm as possible, and they are domestic terrorists, because the point being of what was going to transpire in Idaho, if not for that concerned citizen that said there looks to be a mini army getting into a random U-Haul. If they did not tip and follow up like, oh, I don't know, the FBI and everyone didn't do for January 6th, what do you think would have happened at this Pride event? What do you think would have happened at that story time had the police not been called and actually came in, right? Instead of saying, oh, you know, boys will be boys, white supremacists will be white supremacists, and everyone gets to just carry on and do whatever it is that they want. There is messages. There are messages that are going out across these different servers and platforms that are saying and calling these people into ranks to say, go to this event, go to that event, right? There is a terror alert now, right now, where I am recording in Washington, D.C., getting ready to go to a Pride event at the White House, where, again, there are threats all around here. Right. That are being picked up. So this is not about Democrats covering their own asses about Republicans that are going to come in and make them look like fools. This is about green lighting violence and terrorism in this country.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
And if you don't have any consequences for individuals who feel empowered, emboldened, and confident and proud enough to use violence to further their white supremacist ideology, what's going to happen? It's like a cop literally eating a donut, looking at a robber, saying, oh, look at that robber, leaving the bank with jewelry. Listen, nice robber, here's some coffee. Just don't do it again. The robber is going to be like, okay. And then next day he's going to go right back into the bank and go for all the bills that he forgot. And also, speaking about the cops, another just amazing story that I have to mention before we quickly leave about how this is so connected. An assistant police chief. Wait, Danielle, I don't know about your finances right now, but you know, it's a pandemic and we have inflation and there's fears of a recession. But I think if you and I need some money, if this podcasting doesn't work out, let me tell you how you can get $1.5 million. excuse me. Be a 27-year department veteran, an assistant police chief. Make some Holocaust jokes. Shave your facial hair. Grow some facial hair if you can, Danielle, to resemble a Hitler mustache. And proudly hang some Nazi symbols. If you do all that, public goods and funds will be used to pay you $1.5 million. That's what happened in Washington, that literally the people's money, $1.5 million, went to pay an assistant police chief who's pretty much a Nazi, because apparently they had to pay him out for him to leave. That's what's happening. A dude gets $1.5 million for being a Nazi. And the police are so strong that they could not, quote unquote, retaliate against him. So they literally are like, all right, dude, we'll give you $1.5 million. Please leave. We'll give you our money. We'll give you $1.5 million. We'll give you a nest egg for being a Nazi. Can you just leave the police department? He's like, fine, for $1.5 million, fine.
But what does that tell you? We can't even get qualified immunity, right? Cops shoot and kill people left and right, and they get what? Paid leave, if that, right? Or they get transferred to a different fucking department. So this is, I mean, when people have been saying, and I just got on this bandwagon, you know, a couple of years ago, that police are nothing more than an organized gang. This is what the fuck we're talking about, right? When you have so many restrictions,
so many bad apples,
so many restrictions from accountability, and yet you got an orchard that spans the nation filled with bad apples, but you can't do anything about it for fear, right? Because let's go back to those Idaho police officers that arrested the caravan of white domestic terrorists. Is that, guess what? They're receiving now death threats.
Yep.
Right? They're having to look for protection from themselves.
The police chief specifically said he's been getting death threats and received about 150 calls in 2 days after making the arrests. Half of them were people praising the police for stopping the U-Haul of white supremacists. The other half are from all over the world yelling at them and pretty much offering death threats simply for doing the job. So 50 saying good job and 50% saying, hey, damn you for stopping this U-Haul of white supremacists who are about to inflict massive violence on a gay pride parade.
You know, all I keep thinking about is the Pulse shooting that was the deadliest mass shooting in this country that targeted Black and Latinx gay people in Florida, killed nearly 50. Right? I think about all of the violence that's been inflicted against LGBTQ community, the Black community, at the hands of white supremacists and others, right? Other marginalized communities. And we do nothing. And we do nothing in these nation, right, in this nation, when the terror threat is raised. We do nothing when the Attorney General, along with the Secretary of Homeland Security, says, you know, the biggest threat that's facing this country isn't ISIS. It isn't, you know, these foreign terrorists, right?
Is it Antifa, Danielle?
Oh, and you know what? It isn't Antifa or Black extremist groups either, right? It's actually white domestic terrorists.
What?
And what are we doing about it?
Nothing.
Because these people are embedded in our military, they're embedded in the police department, they're embedded in our agencies, and so we do nothing because we continue to believe that we're allowing these people to police themselves, and somehow things are going to get better.
Well, they're also embedded now in the Republican Party, and they also showed up on January 6th. That's why it's all connected. And you know, as we leave this episode, so you can go hopefully have a fun, joyous time at the White House at the Pride event.
Inshallah,
is that we don't talk about white supremacy enough in this country. And I know you and me get all the hate, and we get called race hustlers, and we say, oh, mm-hmm, you guys are hysterical and reactionary. But you have to diagnose something. If there is a disease in the country, how do you treat it without actually diagnosing it and calling it out? All of this is connected to white supremacy. All of this is connected to an ideology of hate that says only one group of people deserve to have power. That's what animated, in part, the movement that went for Donald Trump. That's what animated the violent insurrection mob. That's what's animating all these Republicans right now who are willing to literally overturn our robust, flawed but robust democracy. That's what's animating these militia groups and armed violent groups that, as you mentioned, are now recruiting people and targeting groups online, using social media to both recruit and target. And the last thing I'll say is, you know, you might be listening to this and be like, well, I'm not Black. I'm not gay. Mm-hmm. I don't care.
Yep.
They're coming after all of us. They're coming after Jews, Black folks. Look at Buffalo shooting. Look at Muslim, the anti-Muslim hate groups. They're anti-Semitic. They hate women. And this month, they're coming after LGBTQ, and they're coming after democracy, which is why it's going to take all of us, ladies and gentlemen. We need a multicultural coalition. We need the Avengers to step up. You have skin in the game. Trust me, you have skin in the game. We cannot afford you to be apathetic. We try to do our part to keep you aware. But until next time, I hope Danielle has some juicy, tasty stories and gossip from the White House Pride Parade. Hopefully we'll have some good news next week. Hopefully there won't be a freaking U-Haul or a caravan of white supremacists. Hopefully the January 6th committee gives us some juicy tidbits. And maybe, just maybe, inshallah, the Justice Department and Merrick Garland get off their ass and prosecute white supremacists in the GOP like the way this country has crushed black folks and brown folks for the crimes of just, I don't know, using and abusing drugs.
You know, the last thing that I will say is this, that, you know, if there is no justice, right, if we go through this 6 weeks of hearings, if we continue to see mass shootings and the rise of white supremacy and the emboldened, because these people have become emboldened.
That's right.
And why is that? One of the things that I heard very quickly, one of the things that I heard was, white supremacists are emboldened because they recognize that no one is really serving any real time for the insurrection. Mm. That's what they said out of their own mouths, is that they thought, oh, shit, they caught us. They got us on tape. They got us on social media. But guess what? Most of those people are serving like a handful of months in jail. And so if they are patriots in their own distorted, twisted minds, then a couple of months to save this country from the grips of black and brown and gays and trans folks and Muslims, you know, then they'll take it. They'll take it on the chin. So this is deeply reflected in our Department of Justice's inability to hold white supremacists accountable. That's and right. Because we're not holding them accountable and throwing everything, including the kitchen sink at them, because we're not doing that, they're saying, you know what? Come on, folks. The water is warm. The water is warm and the path is clear.
And also, I just want to say, you know, God bless the self-destructive nature of white supremacy, where they'll whine and complain about gas prices, but in order to go beat up some gays, they'll pay the price.
They'll pay the price, but they won't blame Biden for that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they'll blame them for everything else, but gas prices be damned. So that
gas
prices
be damned. We got to go beat up the gays.
Yeah. Ugh,
dark humor for dark days, but hopefully, inshallah, there's some brighter days ahead. Danielle, enjoy yourself. Have a great time and let us know. Give me all the juicy gossip off the record.
I will. Thank you for listening to Democracy-ish. I'm Danielle Moody.
I'm Mujahid Ali.
And we will be back next week if, in fact, there is a country left. Inshallah.
Inshallah.